Mustang watches us from the edge of the glen. She has a long covered bar tied to her saddle. Can't make out her house, but I have seen her before. I remember her like it was yesterday. The girl who called me a pixie when I fell off that pony Mateo put me on. I want her horse to ride back, Cassius tells me. He can't see out his left eye, but his bravado is back a little too forcefully. Hey, darling, he calls. Shit, that hurts the ribs. Prime ride. What house are you? I'm worried about this. The girl rides to within 10 meters, but she has the sigils on sleeve and neck covered with 2 lengths of sewn cloth. Her face is streaked with 3 diagonal lines of blue berry juice mixed with animal fat. We don't know if she's from Ceres. I hope not. She could be from the southern woods, from the east, from the far northeastern highlands even. Lo Mars, she says smugly, looking at the sigil on our jackets. Cassius bows pathetically. I don't bother. Well, this is swell. I kick a stone with my shoe. Lo Mustang. Nice sigil. And horse. I let her know having a horse is something rare. She is small, delicate. Her smile is not. It mocks us. What are you boys about in the hinterlands? Reaping grain? I pack my sling blade. We have enough back home. I gesture south of our castle. She suppresses a laugh at my feeble lie. Sure you do. I will be even with you. Cassius forces his battered face into a smile. You are stunningly beautiful. You must be from Venus. Hit me with whatever is under that cloth on your saddle and take me back to your fortress. I'll be your pink if you promise not to share me and to keep me warm every night. He takes an unsteady step forward. And every morning. Her Mustang takes 4 back till he gives up trying to steal her horse. Well, aren't you the charmer, handsome? And by that pitchfork in your hand, you must be a prime fighter, too. She bats her eyelashes. Cassius puffs out his chest in agreement. She waits for him to understand. Then he frowns. Yup. Uh-oh. You see, we didn't have any tools in our stronghold, except those pertaining to our deity, so you must have encountered House Ceres already. She leans forward in the saddle sardonically. You don't have crops. You just fought those who do. And you don't have any better weapons, clearly, or you would be carrying them with you. So, Ceres is in these parts as well, likely in the lowlands near the woods, for crops. Or near that big river everyone is talking about. She's all laughing eyes and a smirking mouth in a face shaped like a heart. Hair so golden it sparkles in the sun and flows down her back in braids. So, you're in the woods? She asks. North, in the highlands, probably. Oh, this is fun. How bad are your weapons? You clearly don't have horses. What a poor house. Slag, Cassius makes a point of saying. You seem pretty proud of yourself. I put my sling blade on my shoulder. She raises a hand and wiggles it back and forth. Sort of. Sort of. More proud than handsome there should be. He's full of tells. I shift my weight on my toes to see if she notices. She moves her horse back. Now, Reaper, are you going to try and get in my saddle too? Just trying to knock you out of it, Mustang. Fancy a roll in the mud, do we? Well, how about I promise to let you up here with me, if you give me more clues as to where your castle squats, towers, sprawls, I can be a kind master. She looks me up and down playfully. Her eyes sparkle like a fox's might. This is still a game to her, which means her house is a civil place. I'm envious, as I examine her in kind. Cassius didn't lie. She is something to look at. But I'd rather knock her off her Mustang. My feet are tired, and we're playing a dangerous game. What draft number were you? I ask, wishing I'd paid more attention. Higher than you, Reaper. I remember Mercury wanted you something awful, but his drafters wouldn't let him pick you in the first round. Something about your rage metric. You were higher than me. So you're not Mercury then, because they chose a boy instead of me. And you're not a Jupiter because they took a gory damn monstrous kid. I try to remember who else was chosen before me, but I can't. So I smile. Maybe you shouldn't be so vain. Then I wouldn't know what draft you were. I noticed the knife under her black tunic, but I still can't remember her from the draft. Wasn't paying attention. Cassius should have remembered her the way he looks at girls, but maybe he can only think of Quinn and her missing ear. Our job is done. We can leave Mustang. She's smart enough to figure out the rest. But leaving might be a problem without a horse, and I don't think Mustang really needs hers. I feign boredom. Cassius keeps an eye on the hills around. Then I start suddenly as if I've noticed something. I whisper, "Snake," into his ear while looking at the horse's front hooves. He looks too, and at this point the girl's movement is involuntary. Even as she realizes it's a trick, she leans forward to peer at the hooves. I lunge to close the 10-meter gap. I'm fast. So is she, but she's just a hair off balance and has to lean back in order to jerk her horse away. It scrambles back in the mud. I dive for her, and my strong right hand grips her long braids just as the horse darts away. I try to jerk her out of the saddle, but she's all hellfire. I'm left with a handful of coiled gold. The Mustang is off, and the girl laughs and curses about her hair. Then Cassius's pitchfork wobbles through the air and trips the horse. Girl and beast go down in the muddy grass. "Damn it, Cassius," I shout. "Sorry. You might have killed her. I know, sorry." I run to see if she's broken her neck. That would ruin everything. She's not moving. I lean in to feel her pulse and sense a blade graze my groin. My hand is already there to twist her wrist away. I take the knife and pin her down. "I knew you wanted to roll me in the mud." Her lips smirk. Then they purse as if she wants a kiss. I recoil. Instead, she whistles, and the plan becomes a bit more complicated. I hear hooves. Everyone has bloody damn horses but us. The girl winks and I force the cloth from her sigil, House Minerva. Greeks would have called it Athena. Of course. 17 horses tear down the glen from the crest of the hill. Their riders have stun pikes. Where the hell do they get stun pikes? "Time to run, Reaper," Mustang taunts. "My army comes." There's no running. Cassius dives into the lock. I jump off Mustang, run after him through the mud, and throw myself over the bank to join him in the water. I cannot swim, but I learn quickly. The horsemen of House Minerva taunt Cassius and me as we tread water in the center of the small lock. It's summer, but the water is cold and deep. Dusk is coming. My limbs are numb. The Minervans still circle the lake, waiting for us to tire. We won't. I had 3 of the Duro bags in my pocket. I blow them full of air and give 2 to Cassius, keeping 1 for myself. They help us float, and since none of the Minervans seem intent on swimming to meet us, we're safe for the time being. "Roke should have lit it by now," I tell Cassius some hours into our swim. He's in bad shape from his wounds. and the cold.
Broke will light it. Faith, Goodman. Faith.
We're also supposed to be almost home.
Well, it's still going better than my plan did.
You look bored, Mustang,
I shout out with chattering teeth.
Come in for a swim.
And get hypothermia. I'm not stupid. I'm in Minerva, not Mars, remember?
She laughs from the shore.
I'd rather warm myself by your castle's hearth. See?
She points behind us and speaks quickly to three tall boys, one of whom looks as big as an obsidian, shoulders like a huge thunderhead. A thick column of smoke rises in the distance. Finally.
How the slag did those pricks pass the test?
I ask loudly.
They've given our castle away. If we get back, I'm going to drown them in their own piss,
Cassius replies, even louder.
Except for Antonia. She's too pretty for that.
Our teeth chatter. The 18 raiders think House Mars is stupid, horseless, and unprepared.
Reaper, handsome, I must leave you now,
Mustang calls to us.
Try not to drown before I return with your standard. You can be my pretty bodyguards, and you can have matching hats, but we'll have to teach you to think better.
She gallops away with 15 riders, the huge gold reining his horse in beside hers, like some sort of colossal shadow. Her followers whoop as they ride. She also leaves us company. 2 horsemen with stun pikes. Our farming tools lie in the mud on the shore.
Mustang is a sex pot.
Cassius manages to shiver out.
She's scary.
Reminds me of my mother.
Something is wrong with you.
He nods in agreement.
So the plan is sort of working.
If we can get out of the lock without being captured. Night falls in earnest, and with the darkness comes the howls of the wolves in the misty highlands. We begin to sink as our duro bags leak air from small stress holes. We might have had a chance to slink away in the night, but the remaining Minervans are not lazily sitting around a fire. They stalk through the darkness, so that we never even know where they are. Why can't they be stupidly sitting in their castle infighting like our fellows? I'm going to be a slave again. Maybe not a real slave, but it doesn't matter. I won't lose. I cannot lose. Io will have died for nothing if I let myself sink here, if I let my plan fail. Yet, I do not know how to beat my enemies. They are clever, and the odds are stacked heavily against me. Io's dream sinks with me into the darkness of the lock, and I'm about to swim to shore, regardless of the outcome, when something spooks the horses. Then a scream slices across the water. Fear trickles down my spine as something howls. It is not a wolf. It can't be what I think it is. Blue light flashes as a stun pike flails in the air. The boy screams another curse. A knife got him. Someone runs to his aid, and electricity flares blue again. I see a black wolf standing over one body as another falls. Darkness again. Silence. Then the mournful whine of medbots descending from Olympus. I hear a familiar voice.
Clear now. Come out of the water, fishies.
We paddle to shore and pant in the mud. Mild hypothermia has set in. It won't kill us, but my fingers are still slow as mud squishes between them. My body shakes like a drill boy at work.
Goblin, you psychopath. Is that you? I call.
The 4th tribe slides out of the darkness. He's wearing the pelt of the wolf he killed. It covers his head to his shins. Damn small kid. The gold of his black fatigues is coated in mud. So's his face. Cassius crawls from his knees to clasp Severo in a hug.
Oh, you beautiful goblin. Beautiful, beautiful boy. And smelly.
He been nibbling on mushrooms? Goblin asks over Cassius's shoulders.
Stop touching me, you pixie.
He pushes Cassius away, looking embarrassed.
Did you kill these two?
I ask, shivering. I bend over them and take off their dry clothing to exchange for my own. I feel pulses.
No.
Severo cocks his head at me.
Should I have? Why are you asking me like I'm your praetor?
I laugh.
You know what's what.
Severo shrugs.
You're like me.
He looks at Cassius with disdain.
And somehow still like him. So, should I kill them?
He asks casually. Cassius and I share startled glances.
No!
We agree, just as the medbots arrive to take the Minervans away. He hurts them badly enough to end their time in the game.
So, what, pray tell, are you doing wandering about in a wolfskin all the way out here?
Cassius asks. Rogue said you lot would be out east, Severo replies curtly. Plan is still a go, says he.
How the Minervans arrived at the castle, I ask.
Severo spits in the grass. The twin moons cast eerie shadows over his dark face.
How the piss should I know? They passed me on the way. But you have no leverage, you know. It's a dead-end plan.
Is Severo actually helping us? Of course his help begins with listing out our inadequacies.
If the Minervans get to the keep, they will destroy Tithys and take our territory.
Yes, that's the point, I say.
They will also take our standard.
That's a risk we have to take.
So, I stole the standard from the keep and buried it in the woods.
I should have thought of that.
You just stole it? Just like that?
Cassius starts laughing.
Crazy little sod. You're prime mad. 100th pick. Prime mad.
Severo looks annoyed.
Pleased,
but annoyed.
Even then, we cannot guarantee they leave our territory.
Your suggestion?
I ask, still shivering, but impatient. He could have helped us before.
Get leverage to get them out after they do their job of taking Tithys down, obviously.
Yes. Yes. I get it.
I shake off the last of my shivers.
But how?
Severo shrugs.
We'll take Minerva's standard.
Wait,
Cassius says.
You know how to do that.
Severo snorts.
What do you think I've been doing this whole time, you silky turd? Wanking off in the bushes?
Cassius and I look at each other.
Kind of, I say.
Yeah, actually,
Cassius agrees. We ride the Minervan horses east of the highlands. I'm not a sound equestrian. Of course, Cassius is, so I learn to clutch his bruised ribs very well. Our faces are painted with mud. It will look like shadow in the night, so they will see our horses, our pikes, our sigils, and will think us their own. The Minervan castle lies in rolling country, quilted with wildflowers and olive trees. The moons glimmer bright over the pitching landscape. Owls hoot in the gnarled branches above. As we reach their sprawling sandstone fortress, a voice challenges us from the rampart above the gate. Severo is not very presentable in his wolf cloak, so he guards the escape.
We found Mars, I call up. Oi, open the damn gate. Password, the sentry demands lazily from the battlements. Buzz him, butthead, I shout up. Several heard it last time he was here. Prime, where's Virginia and the Raiders? The sentry calls down.
Mustang?
Took their standard, man. The pissers didn't even have horses. We might still manage to take their castle.
The sentry bites.
Prime news. Virginia's a devil. June's made supper. Fetch some in the kitchen and then join me if you like. I'm bored and need to be entertained.
The gate creaks open very, very slowly. I laugh when it finally parts enough for us to ride in abreast. Kessis and I aren't even met by guards. Their castle is different. Drier, cleaner, and less oppressive. They have gardens and olive trees that wend between the sandstone columns of the bottom level. We hide in the shadows as two girls pass with cups of milk. They have no torches or fires an enemy can spot from the distance, only small candles. It makes it easy to slink about. Apparently the girls are pretty because Cassius makes a face and pretends to follow them up the stairs. After flashing me a smile, he sneaks toward the sounds of the kitchen as I look for their command room. I find it on the third level. Windows overlook the dark plain. In front of the windows lies Minerva's Atlas. A burning flag floats above my house's castle. I don't know what it means, but it can't be good. Another fortress, House Diana's, lies south of Minerva's in the Great Woods. Those are all that have been discovered. They have their own score sheets to keep track of accomplishments. Someone named Pax seems a bloody nightmare. He's taken 8 slaves personally and caused medbots to come down to fetch 9 students, so I assume he's the one that stood as tall as an obsidian. I don't find their standard anywhere in the command room. Like us, they weren't stupid enough to leave it just lying about. No problem. We'll find it in our own way. On cue, I smell Cassius's smoke fires seeping through the windows. What a pretty war room they have. Much prettier than Mars's. I break everything. And when I have ruined their map and am finished defacing a statue of Minerva, I use the axe I found to chop the name of Mars into their long, beautiful war table. I'm tempted to etch another house's name into the debris to confuse them, but I want them to know who did this. This house is too put together, too ordered and level-headed. They have a leader, raiders, sentries, naive ones, cooks, olive trees, warm milk, stunpikes, horses, honey, strategy. Minervans. Proud piggers. Let them feel a bit more like House Mars. Let them feel rage. Chaos. Shouts come. Kessis's fire spreads. A girl runs into the war room. I nearly make her faint as I lift my axe. There's no point in hurting her. We can't take prisoners, not easily, so I pull out both the sling blade and the stunpike. Mud on my face, my golden hair wild. I look a terror. Are you June? I growl.
No. Why?
Can you cook? She laughs, despite her fear. 3 boys turn the corner. 2 are thicker but shorter than me. I scream like a rage god. Oh, how they run.
Enemies! They scream. Enemies! They're in the towers, I roar, to confuse them again and again as I descend the stairs. The top levels! Everywhere! Too many! Dozens! Dozens! Mars is here! Mars has come!
Smoke spreads. So do their cries.
Mars! They shout. Mars has come!
A young man flashes past me. I grab his collar and throw him at a window into the courtyard below, scattering the Minervans massed there. I go to the kitchen. Cassius's fire is not bad, mostly grease and brush. A howling girl beats at it. "June!" I call out. She turns into my stun pike and shudders as the electricity dumbs down her muscles. That's how I steal their cook. Cassius finds me running with June over my shoulder, through their gardens. "What the hell?" "She's a cook," I explain. He laughs so hard he can barely breathe. Minervans fall into chaos, running from their barracks. They think the enemy's in their towers. They think their citadel is burning down. They think Mars has come in full force. Cassius pulls me along into their stables. 7 horses have been left behind. We steal 6 after tossing a candle into their hay stores and ride out to the main gate as smoke and panic consumes the fortress. I don't have the standard, just as we planned. Severo said there was a hidden back gate to the fortress. We wagered that someone very desperate to flee a fallen fortress would use it to escape, someone trying to protect the standard. We were right. Severo joins us 2 minutes later. He howls out from under his wolf cloak as he comes. Far behind, the enemy chases him on foot with stun pikes. Now they're the ones without horses, and they've no chance to get back the owl standard that glitters in his muddy hands. The cook, unconscious across my saddle. We ride under the starry night, back to our battle-torn highlands. The 3 of us, laughing, cheering, howling. Chapter 27. The House of Rage. We find Roke at Phobos Tower, with Leah, Screwface, Clown, Thistle, Weed and Pebble. We have 8 horses, 2 stolen at the lake, 6 stolen in the castle. We add them to our plan. Cassius, Severo and I cross the bridge that spans the River Metos. An enemy scout bolts north to warn Mustang. Our other stolen horses, led by Antonia, follow once the scout is away, looping north. Roke, horseless, loops south. My horse alone is not covered with mud. She is a bright mare, and I am a bright sight. I carry Minerva's golden standard in my left hand. We could have hidden it, could have kept it safe, but they need to know we have it, and even though Severo stole it, he doesn't want to carry it. He likes his curved knives too much. I think he whispers to them. And Cassius we need for other things besides carrying the standard. Plus, if he carried it, then he would look the leader. And that will not do. Dead silence as we ride through our lowlands. Fog seeps around the trees. I cut through it. Cassius and Severo ride to either side. I cannot see or hear them now, but wolves howl somewhere. Severo howls back. I struggle to keep my seat as the mare spooks. I fall off twice. Cassius's laughs come from the darkness. It's hard to remember I'm doing all this for Io. All this to start a rebellion. It feels like a game this night. In a way it is, because I'm finally beginning to have fun. Our castle is taken. Firelight along its ramparts tell me this. The castle stands high above the glen on its hill, its torches making strange halos in the fog-quilted darkness. My horse's hooves thump softly on wet grass, as to my right, the Metas gurgles like a sick child in the night. Cassius rides there, but I cannot see him. "Reaper!" Mustang shouts through the mist. Her voice is not playful. She's 40 meters off, near the base of the sloped road that leads to the castle. She leans forward, arms crossed over the pommel of her saddle. 6 riders flank her. The rest must be garrisoning in the castle, otherwise I'd hear about it. I look at the boys behind her. Pax is so large that his pike looks like a scepter in his huge mitts. "Lo, Mustang."
"So, you didn't drown. That would have been easier."
Her quick face is dark.
"You are a vile breed, you know that?"
She's been inside the keep, and she doesn't have words for her anger. Rape? Mutilation? Murder? She spits.
I did nothing, I say, and neither did the proctors.
Yes, you did nothing. Yet now you have our standard, and what? Handsome somewhere out there in the mist. Go ahead. Pretend you're not their leader, like you're not responsible.
Titus is responsible.
The big bastard? Yes, Pax laid him low.
She gestures to the monster of a boy beside her. Pax's hair is shorn short, his eyes small, chin like a heel with a dent in it. Beneath him, his horse looks like a dog. His bare arms are flesh stretched over boulders.
I didn't come to talk, Mustang.
Come to cut my ear off?
She sneers.
No. Goblin did.
Then one of her men slips screaming from his saddle.
What the... a rider murmurs.
Behind them, knives already dripping, Severo howls like a maniac. A half-dozen other howls join his, as Antonia and half her Phobos garrison ride from the north hills on the stolen mud-black steeds. They howl like mentals in the mist. Mustang's soldiers wheel about. Severo takes another one down. He doesn't use stun pikes. Medbots scream through the sky, which is suddenly filled with proctors. All of them have come to watch. Mercury trails behind the rest, carrying an armful of spirits, which he tosses to his fellows. Each of us peers up to watch their strange appearance. The horses continue to run. Time pauses.
To the fray! Dark Apollo mocks from on high. His golden robes show he's just risen from bed. To the fray!
Then chaos hits as Mustang shouts orders, strategy. Four more horsemen ride down the sloped road from the gate to support her troop. My turn. I slam Minerva's standard upright into the earth and scream bloody murder. I kick my heels into my mare. She lurches forward, almost losing me. My body shudders as she pounds the moist earth with her hooves. My strong left hand grips the reins, and I draw my sling blade. I feel a helldiver again when I howl. The enemy scatters as they see me raging toward them. It is the rage that confuses them. It is the insanity of Severo, the manic brutality of Mars. The horsemen scatter, except one. Pax jumps from his horse and sprints at me.
Pax Autelamanus, he screams, a titan possessed, foaming at the mouth.
I dig my heels into my horse and howl. Then Pax tackles my horse. His shoulder hits my horse's sternum. The beast screams. My world flips. I fly out of my saddle, over my horse's head, and crash to the ground. Dazed, I stumble to my knee in the hoof-churned field. Madness consumes the field. Antonia's force crashes into Mustang's flank. They have primitive weapons, but their horses are shock enough. Several Minervans fly from the saddle. Others kick their mounts towards their abandoned standard, but Cassius appears out of the fog at a gallop and swipes the standard away to the south. Two enemies give chase, dividing their force. The other six soldiers from Antonia's tower garrisons are waiting to ambush them in the woods, where the horses cannot gallop. Reflexes make me duck as a pike sweeps toward my skull. I'm up with my sling blade. I slash it at a wrist. Too slow. I move as if in a dance, remembering the thumping pattern my uncle taught me in the abandoned mines. The reaping dance carries my motions into one another like flowing water. I swoop the sling blade into a kneecap. The aureate bone does not break, but the force knocks the rider from the saddle. I spin sideways and strike again and again and sweep the hoof of a horse away, breaking a fetlock. The animal falls. A different stun pike stabs at me. I avoid the point and rip it free with my red hands and jam the electrocuting tip into another assailant. The boy falls. A mountain pushes it aside and runs at me. Pax. In case I am an idiot, he roars his name at me. His parents bred him to lead obsidian landing parties into hull breaches.
Pax au Telemannus!
He beats his huge pike against his chest and hits puffy-haired clown so hard, my friend flies back 4 meters.
Pax au Telemannus! Is a pricklicker,
I mock. Then a horse's flank thumps into my back, and I stumble toward the monstrous boy. I'm doomed. He could have gotten me with his pike. Instead, he hugs me. It's like being embraced by a golden bear that keeps screaming its own damn name. My back cracks. Mother mercy. He's squeezing my skull. My shoulder aches. Bloody hell. I can't breathe. I've never met a force like this. Dear God, he's a bloody damn ogre. But someone is howling. Dozens of howls. Back popping. Pax roars his personal victory.
I have your captain. I piss on you, Mars. Pax au Telemannus has slagged your captain. Pax au Telemannus.
My vision flickers black and fades, but the rage in me does not. I roar out one last bit of wrath before I faint. It's cheap. Pax is honourable. I still smash his grapes flat with my knee. I make sure to get both as many times as I can. 1, 2, 3, 4. He gawps and collapses. I feign to top him in the mud to the sound of Proctor's cheering. Severo tells me the story as he picks through the pockets of our prisoners after the battle. After Pax and I finished one another off, Roke sallied into the glen with Leah and my tribe. Mustang, a crafty girl, escaped into the castle and manages yet to hold it with 6 fighters. All the prisoners of Mars she captured won't be hers until she touches them with the tip of her standard. Fat chance. We have 11 of her men, and Roke digs up our standard to make them our slaves. We could besiege our own castle. There's no storming its high walls. But Ceres or the rest of Minerva could come at any time. If they do, Cassius is supposed to ride to give Ceres Minerva's standard. It also keeps him away while I cement my position as leader. Roke and Antonia come with me to negotiate with Mustang at the gate. I limp up and favour a cracked rib. It hurts to breathe. Roke takes a step back so that I am most prominent when we reach the gate itself. Antonia wrinkles her nose and eventually does the same. Mustang is bloody from the skirmish, and I can't find a smile on her pretty face.
The Proctors have been watching all of this, she says scathingly. They've seen what happened in that place. Everything
was done by Titus. Antonia drawls tiredly.
And no one else?
Mustang looks at me.
The girls won't stop crying.
No one died, Antonia says in annoyance. Weak as they are, they will repair themselves. Despite what happened, there's been no depletion of golden stock.
The golden stock, Mustang murmurs. How can you be so cold?
Little girl.
Antonia sighs.
Gold is a cold metal.
Mustang looks up at Antonia incredulously, then shakes her head.
Mars, a gruesome deity. You're fit for this, aren't you lot? Barbarity? Past centuries? Dark ages?
I don't have a mind to be lectured by an aureate about morality.
We would like you to leave the castle, I tell her. Do so with your men, and you may have those we captured. We won't turn them into slaves.
Down the hill, Severo stands beside the captives with our standard in hand. He's tickling a disgruntled Pax with a horsehair. Mustang jams a finger into my face.
This is a school. You realize that, yes? No matter the rules your house decides to play by.
Be ruthless all you gorry well like,
But there are limits. There are slagging limits to what you can do in this school, in the game. The more brutal you are, the more foolish you look to the proctors, to the adults who will know what you've done, what you're capable of doing. You think they want monsters to lead the society? Who would want a monster for an apprentice?
I see a vision of Augustus watching my wife dangle, eyes dead as a pit viper's. A monster would want a student in his own image.
They want visionaries, leaders of men, not reapers of them. There are limits, she continues.
I snap.
There are no goddamned limits.
Mustang's jaw tightens. She understands how this will play out. In the end, giving us back our horrible castle won't cost her anything. Trying to keep it would. She might even end up like one of the girls in the High Tower. She never thought of that before. I can tell she wants to leave. It's her sense of justice that is killing her. Somehow she thinks we should pay, that the proctors should come down and interfere. Most of the kids think that about this game. Hell, Cassius said it 100 times as we scouted together. But the game isn't like that, because life isn't like that. Gods don't come down in life to mete out justice. The powerful do it. That's what they are teaching us. Not only the pain in gaining power, but the desperation that comes from not having it. The desperation that comes when you are not a gold.
We will keep the Ceres slaves,
Mustang demands. No, they are ours, I drawl. And we will do with them what we like. She watches me for a long moment, thinking.
Then we get Titus.
No.
Mustang snaps. We will keep Titus, or there are no terms.
You will keep no one. She's not used to being told no.
I want assurances they are safe. I want Titus to pay.
It doesn't matter a flying piss what you want. Here you get what you take. That's part of the lesson plan. I pull out my sling blade and set its tip into the soil. Titus is of House Mars. He is ours. So please, try and take him.
He'll be brought to justice,
Roke says to Mustang, to reassure her. I turn to him, eyes blazing.
Shut up!
He looks down, knowing he should not have spoken. It doesn't matter. Mustang's eyes don't look to Antonia or Roke. They don't look down the slope where Leah and Scipio have her warband on their knees in the glen, and Thistle sits on Pax's back with Weed, taking her turn tickling him now. Her eyes don't look at the blade. They're only for me. I lean in. If Titus raped a little girl who happened to be a red, how would you feel? I ask. She doesn't know how to answer. The law does. Nothing would happen. It isn't rape unless she wears the sigil of an elder house like Augustus. Even then, the crime is against her master. Now look around, I say quietly. There are no golds here. I'm a red. You're a red. We are all reds till one of us gets enough power. Then we get rights. Then we make our own law. I lean back and raise my voice.
That is the point of all this. To make you terrified of a world where you do not rule. Security and justice aren't given. They are made by the strong.
You should hope that is not true,
Mustang says quietly to me. Why?
Because there is a boy here like you.
Her face takes on a gloomy aspect, as though she regrets what she must say.
My proctor calls him the Jackal. He is smarter and crueler and stronger than you, and he will win this game and make us his slaves if the rest of us go about acting like animals. Her eyes implore me. So please, hurry up and evolve. Chapter 28. My brother. I pretend the matches came from one of the Minervans when I light our first fire inside Castle Mars. June is fetched from her makeshift prison, and soon she has prepared us a feast from the meat of goats and sheep and herbs gathered by my tribe. My tribe pretends it's the first meal they've had in weeks. The others of the house are hungry enough to believe the lie. Minerva and her warband have long since slunk on home. What now? I ask Roke as the others eat in the square. The keep is a place of squalor still, and the light of the fire does nothing to illuminate the filth. Cassius has gone to see Quinn, so I am alone for the moment with Roke. Titus's tribe sits in quiet groups. The girls will not speak to the boys because of what they've seen some of them do. All eat with their heads down. There's shame there. Antonia's people sit with mine and glare at Titus's. Disgust fills their eyes. Betrayal, too, even as they fill their bellies. Several scuffles have already escalated from minor words to thrown fists. I thought the victory might bring them together. But it did not. The division is worse than ever, only now I cannot define it, and I think there is only one way to mend it. Roke doesn't have the answer I want to hear. The Proctors aren't interfering because they want to see how and if we handle justice, Darrow. It is the deeper trait that this situation probes. How do we manage law? Brilliant, I say. So, what? We're supposed to whip Titus? Kill him? That would be law. Would it? Or would it just be vengeance? You're the poet. You figure it out. I kick a stone off the ramparts. He can't stay tied up in the cellars. You know this. We will never move on from this torpor if he does. And it has to be you who decides what to do with him. Not Cassius, I ask. I think he's earned a say. After all, he did claim him. I don't want Cassius to share leadership, but I don't want him to come out of the Institute without any prospects. I owe him. Claim him? Roke coughs. And how barbaric does that sound? So, Cassius should play no role? I love him like a brother, but no. Roke's narrow face tenses as he sets a hand on my arm. Cassius cannot lead this house. Not after what happened. Titus's boys and girls might obey him, but they won't respect him. They won't think him stronger than them, even if he is. Darrow, they pissed on him. We are golds. We do not forget. He's right. I pull my hair in frustration and glare at Roke as though he were being difficult. You don't understand how much this means to Cassius. After Julian's death, he has to succeed. He cannot be remembered solely for what happened. He can't. Why do I care so much? Doesn't matter a flying piss how much it means to him. Roke echoes my words with a smile. His fingers are thin like hay on my bicep. They'll never fear him. Fear is necessary here. And Cassius knows it. Why else is he absent in victory? Antonia has not left my side. Pollux, the gate-opener, hasn't either. They linger several meters away to associate with my power. Severo and Thistle watch them with sly grins. Is that why you're here too, you scheming weasel? I ask Roke. Sharing the glory,
He shrugs, and gnaws on the leg of mutton Leah brings him.
Slag that. I'm here for the food.
I find Titus in the cellar. The Minervans tied him and beat him bloody after they saw the slave girls in his tower. That's their justice. He smiles as I stand over him.
How many of House Ceres did you kill in your raids? I ask.
Suck my balls.
He spits bloody phlegm. I dodge. I resist kicking him there. Barely. Already got packs for the day. Titus has the gall to ask what has happened.
I rule House Mars now.
Outsourced your dirty work to the Minervans, eh? Didn't want to face me. Typical golden coward.
I am afraid of him. I don't know why. Yet I bend on a knee and stare him in the eye.
You are a pissing fool, Titus.
You never evolved, never got past the first test.
You thought this whole thing is about violence and killing.
Idiot. It's about civilization, not war. To have an army, you must first have a civilization. You went straight to violence like they wanted us to.
Why do you think they gave us of Mars nothing, and the other houses have so many resources?
We're meant to fight like mad, but we're meant to burn out, like you did. But I beat that test. Now I'm the hero, not the usurper, and you're just the ogre in the dungeon.
Oh, huzzah, huzzah!
He tries clapping his bound hands. I don't give a piss.
How many did you kill? I ask.
Not enough.
He tilts his large head. His hair is greasy and dark with dirt, almost as though he's tried to black out the gold. He seems to like the dirt. It's under his fingernails, coats his burnished skin.
I tried to bash their heads in. Kill them before the medbots came, but they were always so fast.
Why did you want to kill them?
I don't understand what the point is. They are your own people.
He smirks at this.
You could have changed things, you bastard.
His large eyes are calmer, sadder than I remember. He does not like himself, I realize. Something about him is too mournful. The pride I thought he had is not pride. It's just scorn.
You say I'm cruel, but you had matches and iodine.
Don't think I didn't know even before I smelled you.
We starved, and you used what you found to become leader. So do not lecture me on morality, you backstabbing piss-sucker.
Then why didn't you do something about it?
Pollux and Vixus were frightened of you.
So the rest were too.
And they thought Goblin would kill them in their sleep. What could I do if I was the only one who wasn't scared?
Why aren't you?
He laughs hard.
You're just a boy with a sling blade. First I thought you were hard, thought we saw things similarly.
He licks a bloody lip.
Thought you were like me, only worse because of that coldness in your eyes.
But you're not cold.
You care about these piss pricks.
My eyebrows pinch together.
How's that?
Simple. You made friends. Roke, Cassius, Leah, Quinn.
So did you. Pollux, Cassandra, Vixus.
Titus's face contorts horribly.
Friends!
He spits.
Friends with them? Those gold brows? They are monsters, soulless bastards. Nothing but a bunch of cannibals, all of them.
They did the same as I did, but...
Pfft.
I still don't understand why you did what you did to the slaves, I say. Rape, Titus. Rape. His face is quiet and cruel. They did it first. Who? But he's not listening. Suddenly he's telling me about how they took her and raped her in front of him. Then the slaggers came back a week later to do it some more. So he killed them, bashed their heads in. I killed the bloody damn monsters. Now their daughters bloody well get what she got. It's like I've been punched in the face. Oh, hell. A chill spreads through me. Bloody damn. I stumble back. What the hell is the matter with you? Titus asks. If I were a gold, I might have not noticed. Might have just been befuddled by the odd word. I'm no gold. Darrow? I pull my way into the hall. I move in a haze. It all makes sense. The hate. The disgust. The vengeance. Cannibals eat their own. He calls them cannibals. Pollux, Cassandra, Vixus. Who are their own? Their own. Golden. Bloody damn. Not gory. Titus said bloody damn. No gold says that. Ever. And he called it a sling blade, not a reaper's scythe. Oh, hell. Titus is a red. Chapter 29. Unity. Titus is what Dancer did not want me to become. He's like Harmony. He's a creature of vengeance. A rebellion with Titus at the helm would fail in weeks. Worse, if Titus continues this way, continues unstably, he puts me at risk. Dancer lied, or else he did not know that there are other reds who've been carved, other reds who have donned the mask of the golds. How many more are there? How many has Ares planted here, in the society? In the Institute? It doesn't matter if it's 1,000 or just one. Titus's instability puts every red ever carved into a gold at risk. He puts Io's dream at risk. And that is something I cannot abide. Io did not die so that Titus can kill a few kids. I sob in the armory as I resolve what must be done. More blood will stain these hands, because Titus is a mad dog and must be put down. In the morning, I pull him into the square in front of the house. They clear away the remnants of the night's feast. I even have the slaves there to watch. A few proctors flicker high above. There is no medbot floating beside them, which must stand as their silent consent. I push Titus down on the ground in front of his former tribe. They watch quietly. Mist hanging in the air above them, nervous feet scraping the cold cobblestones of the courtyard. A chill seeps into my hands through the durosteel of my slingblade. For crimes of rape, mutilation, and attempted murder of fellow house members, I sentence Titus Auladros to death. I list the reasons. Does anyone contest my right to do so? First, I glance to the proctors above. Not one makes a sound. I stare at cruel Vixus. His bruise is not yet gone. My eyes go to Cassandra next. I even look at Craggy Pollux, the one who saved Cassius and opened the gates for us. He stands by Roke. How loyalties shift here. How my own shift. I will make a red die because he killed golds. He dug the earth like me. He has a soul like mine.
In death, it will go to the veil. But in life he was stupid and selfish with his grief. He should have been better than this. Reds are better than him. Aren't we? Titus's tribe stays silent. Their guilt is bound up with their leader. When he goes, it'll go. That is what I tell myself. Everything will be well. I contest the sentence, Titus says, and issue a challenge to you, turd licker. I accept, Goodman. I bow curtly. Then a duel per custom of the Order of the